In the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, we read about the city of Babylon, the economic center of the world, being judged by God for her sinfulness. But before the final destruction falls, God calls his people out, as he always does. Listen to the plea in verses 4 through 8. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." This is a plea for separation. In its primary interpretation, it's prophetic, addressed to the saints of the tribulation period. But it's also a warning to the believers in this day. The call to separation has come to God's people in every age. It came to Abraham in Genesis 12:1, "Leave thy country and kin." It came to Lot in Genesis 19:12-14, "Leave Sodom and its sins." This call comes to us in 2 Corinthians 6:14-17, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." And 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Neither be ye partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." When the Lord makes a plea for you to come out, he also prepares the way. Galatians 1:14 states, "Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world." The door of escape is opened by the Lord, and no man can shut it. Always bear in mind that God hates sin. Therefore, he'll never forget a sin that isn't covered by the blood of Christ. If you cover your sins, he'll uncover them. But if you uncover them in confession, he'll cover them. The sins of the sinner and the whole system of Babylon came up before the Lord, and the Bible says that they were to receive double for all their evil deeds, according to verses 5 and 6. The seventh verse makes me think of James 5:1. And the eighth verse of the following verses in the fifth chapter of James. This is a great prophecy against capitalism. "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you." Because of this passage in James 5, 1-6, I believe that capitalism will continue until the end. Communism will become stronger, that's true. But the rich will become richer, the poor will become poorer, and capitalism will continue until Babylon will be destroyed. It won't take long for Babylon to be destroyed. According to the eighth verse, it shall be done in one day, even in the space of 1 hour, according to the tenth verse. and earthquake, followed by fire, could be the destruction of New York, Washington, Rome, or a rebuilt Babylon. Or it could be an atomic explosion. There's no telling, but it shall be done. Listen to the pain, verses 9 to 19. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. And the fruits thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. The first to mourn her will be the kings and rulers. The next will be the merchants, and then the shipping companies. In this dirge, we hear the weeping and wailing of those who mourn. Is it for lives? No. Luxuries. For souls? No. For silver? For others? No. Self. Did you notice the list of merchandise? What comes first? Necessities? No, luxuries. First, gold and silver. Then things for show and personal adornment. Fine fabrics and precious stones. Then rich household furnishings. Then expensive perfumes and spices. Then fine foods in abundance, then means of travel, horses and chariots used only by the wealthy, finally slaves, that is, bodies and souls. Here is where men and women barter their souls for some mere trifle. Here's where the Esau's exchange their birthrights for a mess of pottage. Yet our Lord asks, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The 14th verse is one of the most descriptive pictures of hell. It's terribly impressive. The fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. Here is a man who gives up God for gold, and he goes to hell. He'll desire that gold, but there's no gold in hell. He gives up the Lord for liquor, and he goes to hell. He'll desire a drink of liquor, but there's no liquor in hell. He gives up the Savior for sex, and he goes to hell. He'll desire sex, but there's no sex in hell. Hell is a place of unfulfilled desires. Hear the wail. It's an earthly wail. Soon it will be an eternal woe. It's uttered by the shipmasters in verses 14 to 19. They cry in verse 19, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the city by reason of her costliness. In 1 hour is she made desolate. They don't mourn for the city, but for their commerce, not for their Babylon, but for their business. They didn't pay any attention to our Lord when he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's exactly what they did, and that's where their hearts are. For our Lord said, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Isn't it better to lay up treasures in heaven? You know, the givers in time are the millionaires in eternity. It's hard for me to talk about the pain and the sorrows of hell. It makes me cry, for I know some of you who listen to me are headed for hell right now. Oh, please, turn from your sins and turn to the Savior now. Won't you turn to Jesus now?